Welcome to Keep It at 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll in Northeast Ohio, and sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle, and it's like 2 in the morning, and I'm sitting next to a not-so-feely girl, feely good butt. How you doing, Paige?
Good.
Good, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you guys, too.
Do you know what I'm doing right now?
Podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting, that's right. So you got the computer and you see the whole thing. You know what today's podcast is about, kid?
No.
No? Well, I'll tell you, okay? Today, Daddy, he talks to a really cool guy named James Lenfield, who's in a band called Beatallica. Can you say Beatallica?
Beatallica?
Of course you can. You're five, right? High five. High five. I'm being high five for fives. Am I right? High five for James. High five for James Lenfield. Beatallica is coming to the Empire this Friday. Dad and Mom are going to go. We're going to go take our friend John for his birthday. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And we're going to go see them play songs in concert. Songs that Dad likes. Songs that mash the Beatles with Metallica songs. Isn't that rad?
Yeah.
I think so, too. And so we're going to go do that, and they're going to play songs that sound kind of like the Beatles. Dad has a friend named Tim Shaver that loves the Beatles. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yes. And then they're also going to mash up songs like Metallica stuff, and Tim Shaver loves Metallica, too. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Wait, they're also the same name.
Oh, yeah. It's the same person. Because Tim Shaver is the biggest Metallica fan, and he loves the Beatles. And that's cool, right? Because we don't trust anybody that don't listen to the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Tim Shaver. So luckily, Tim Shaver loves the Beatles. Anyway, this intro is getting out of hand. I'm going to wrap this up. This is a good time with James Lenfield. Awesome, dude. This is an awesome time. We talk about everything. We play some music. Maybe we play a couple songs. I think songs are cool. You think songs are cool, Paige?
Yeah.
All right. Let's, you know what? Let's go get you back to bed, okay? Because it's really late, all right?
By the way, this is the game not working. Also, Benji's not working by the way, but...
Yeah, but we're not going to play Xbox right now because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? You got school tomorrow, all right?
Yeah, I'm just sending that in.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Bam. All right, we're official. I am here with James Lenfield, also known as, I kind of know you, I've called you Tinker before.
Sure, yeah.
A man of many talents, many skills, the front man, the singer of a band called Beatallica that I've been a fan of for, I want to say around 20 years. Is that right? You guys have been around that long.
I mean, it's like, when did we do that first thing in Cleveland? I still have the Metcalf jersey, by the way. So I still have that jersey. I mean, when was that? I mean, it's got to be like 17 years, 16 years, something in there.
Yeah, it was like 2004, 2005. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was before I had children. And I've been a dad for as long as I can remember. I remember hearing Beatallica on the local radio here. And okay, sure. They were playing it, I believe, on WMMS. And then I found your website. You could download the songs for free. I've always been a huge comedy music fan, and I've always been a heavy metal fan. And up until I heard Beatallica, I was not a Beatles fan. And okay. So I have to give you a lot of the credit for me becoming a Beatles fan, because since then I now own all their records.
How much are you into it now? You
know? I absolutely adore the Beatles so much that I raise my children on the Beatles and to not trust anybody that doesn't like the Beatles. So I just wanted a real quick before we get this started. Thanks for making me a Beatles fan, man.
Hey, man. Thank them, but you're welcome, right?
I guess they get some credit too. So you guys, you've been doing this for since what, 2001, 2002?
Yeah, I mean, the original goofy, spoofy thing was 2001, But I mean, people say, how long have you been doing this? Okay, well, you could say 2001, but how long have we been playing live? Well, that was like 2005, you know, and okay, so how long have you been signed? Well, that's been 2007, you know, so there's different milestones that kind of go along with the band, you know. It kind of depends on whenever you hopped into it. You know, I mean, you with so much history on it, yeah, you remember all the MP3 days and all those other things where, you know, some people who are following us, they don't have that history. They don't have that background, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say the same thing about Metallica fans. It's like, man, we've met Metallica fans during this whole deal where they became a fan of Metallica maybe in 1995 and they have no idea what No Life Till Leather is.
Right.
You know, it's okay. Well, you know, so when did you start hopping in? You know, that's when those guys, you know, that's when those guys get their start, you know. But as far as us, those are our basic milestones.
Like doing it all this time and stuff, like for you, like is it still as fun doing it now as it was? I mean, are you having more fun now doing it?
Oh, you know, honestly, man, that probably goes like day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, like with any sort of thing that people get involved with in their lives, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, you know, I just posted on Facebook yesterday. I'm loving doing work outside and like getting stuff done around here and making the place look good. And I just, like I told you before we went on, I just wrestled with that fence for like 45 minutes and yeah. That fucking pile is still in the ground. You know, it's like I got the shovel and I'm banging on it and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's no fun, you know? So it's like, I think it kind of depends, but I mean, the more fun parts about the band now is the all-inclusive sort of songwriting situation that we have with the members of the band. You know, it's like everyone contributed to the Devolver album. This isn't just that James Lenfield is doing all the compositions types of things. Whereas in the past, it was, I would say mostly that, probably 80 to 90 or more percent of that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone kind of maybe writing their own parts, but I'm coming in with this, I'm coming in with this, here's the structure of the song. Okay, let's just tweak it. You know, that's not like that. And that's kind of really what I've always wanted. I mean, really with any band that I play with, because I'm in four bands, you know, so it's like
right.
Every band, you know, should be a collaborative effort, you know? I mean, as of right now, it's like Metallica has six albums. We have six releases.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you look at how band members are getting more and more involved with the songwriting process, I think that lends itself to being able to tackle more material, not only using items like, you know, certain Metallica riffs or whatever like that, but all four of the guys in this band, they all songwrite in their own other separate bands. So the Devolver album has plenty of material on it that is ours. It's ours. We don't share a licensing with it. It's our material. And even going back to when we did Winter Plunder Band, there's two songs off that record that are our material, no license share. So this has been the goal of the band. You know, we want to be songwriters. We want to show people that we're songwriters.
Yeah.
You know, we still want to keep pulling from our parents, you know, and things like that, of course. Mm-hmm. And have that twist to it. But we've always thought it's really important to develop your own part of the craft, not just taking from the craft. You know, there's a difference to us.
Oh yeah, that totally makes sense, especially with the new record, Devolver, that you're saying. I have to say that Wherever and Everywhere is a song that we have in heavy rotation in the house as of late.
Right on. Yeah.
So I highly recommend anybody who's ever listened to this podcast. Everybody knows that I'm a huge fan of heavy. I mean, this podcast revolves around heavy metal music, especially in the Northeast Ohio scene. And a big reason that I have you on here is because you guys are playing a show this upcoming Friday at the Empire in Akron, May 27th. I will be there. I'm taking some friends, my wife, we will definitely be up there to see you. But like, I'm also a huge comedy fan, a big Dr. Demento guy.
Oh God, sure.
People that listen to this show know that these two things are like the ultimate. And if I'm pushing out something, I just wanted to let everybody know that if they've never heard your stuff before, they're going to on this show, but I would definitely go to the Devolver record. I think that it's the best stuff that you've done so far.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, we think that in ways that it is as well, you know. It's probably also just because of the entire collaborative effort. It's probably the album that I don't want to say that we knocked heads over, but there were discussions about, you know, about where are we going with this song, right down to the track listing. And I'm talking like this is the truth, and we can laugh about this now. It's like we had to deliver this album on whatever date it was. Label. We had to deliver it to it. I'm talking like 4 hours before we're delivering the album. It's already mastered. It's already tracked out. Gerg Hammetson texts me frantically from where he's at. He's like, dude, we can't have this track listing like this. We can't start it like this. It's too dark. And I'm telling you right now, this is our greatest album. And he produced it at his studio. He's like, this is our greatest album. I am not letting this album be released if this is like this, period. And so it's like, so I'm going back with mastering. And I'm like, hey, Justin, man, Gerg and I are going back and forth. We're going to give you like, we came up with like four different track listings. And like, okay, how about this? How about this? How about this? You know, so we finally came upon one, you know. We must have gotten it to the label within like 35 minutes of deadline for pressing, you know, or something like that. And I'm just like, damn it, Kirk. I'm just like, we've done this for 5 weeks, man. It's just, you know, it's like, shit. So but now we can laugh about it. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's the thing, you know, the struggles of making a record that everyone wants to be satisfied with, not just one guy wants to be satisfied with. But when you have that, now more people are pushing and pulling in the same direction, ultimately, you know, so. Yeah, you'll work through some of that stuff. And I've known Gerg since 1988. We used to play in crossover punk thrash metal bands when we were kids, you know, playing different gigs and stuff like that together. So we have a long, long, long history of going through stuff together of all sorts of various things or whatever. So, you know, I know in the end it turns out okay, but it's just, you know, it's like some of those moments, man, with him are just like, you know.
So with your band, the first thing that everybody that hears Metallica, whether it's the old stuff, new stuff, is your amazing impression of James Hetfield. When did you realize that you could do a perfect James Hetfield?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say I knew that I could do it somewhat when we did the Spoof Fest show where we did Metallica, not Beatallica, but Metallica.
Okay.
Which is how Beatallica was spawned, because we did an April Fool's joke and released the Beatallica material at the Metallica spoof. So while we were rehearsing the Metallica material, you know, you're working on your voice. Now, I've done all sorts of different spoofs. Okay, everything from James Hetfield of Metallica. I've been Boy George. I've been Bob Marley. I've been Barry Gibb, singing way up here. Like, you can't even see how high my hand is.
That's I can't,
you know, and everything else in between, you know. So it's like trying to morph your voice, craft your voice. Of course, everyone's going to have a natural timbre to their voice. But then they also the other thing you got to remember is like, okay, so that spoof was 21 years ago now, okay, when we did that spoof. Well, as people age, their voice changes. It's not just a puberty thing, people. That's not just where it ends.
Right.
Your voice changes as you age. You know, so how do you keep up with that? How is your breathing? You know, what sort of shape are you in? Lung capacity? You know, are you smoking? Is it ruining your voice? And it's like all these other things that can affect what you've been doing, you know, over the last however many years, you know. So you can come upon something, but it might be fleeting, you know. Right. I did that Barry Gibb spoof. That was like 10, 11 years ago, and people are clamoring for me to do that one again. It's like, sure, I'll give that a shot, but can I hit that note now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, that's all the interesting part of mechanics and physiological BS and all that stuff, you know.
So can you hit that note now?
I need some warm up, sure, but I think I can. God, what was the highest note in that? Okay, and More Than a Woman. It's like, okay, you know, like that chorus, it kind of fades out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm gonna, you know, it's like this is, you know, an octave lower. It's like, More Than a Woman, and starts doing the fade out. He does this little like climbing thing before the last. Just go back to it, listen to it.
Okay.
Oh yeah, we were doing that. No tuning down on that one. Fuck, we did Dio one time too for Spoof Fest. We had a dragon on stage, and I was Dio, so it was great. And we slayed a dragon, and so it's like trying to do the Dio notes, but doing them clean. You know, with your voice, his voice can be very clean when it gets up that high. You know, with the Metallica / Beatallica thing, I have that just fortune of when I sing at a certain intensity or a certain tonal range, I can get a certain amount of grit. Or when I want to do the James Hetfield clean thing, like how we do on our song number 9 on off the Devolver album, I'm very good at doing the mellow baritone-y sort of range that goes on in there. That's just the way I'm made up. You know, sometimes it's just luck of the draw, you know?
Right.
So there's a little bit of work, there's a little bit of luck, and a little bit of strategizing, you know, that goes on into that.
Did did you just take interest in being able to perform and sing like other people based off of being a musician, or is like doing impressions or like voice acting like an interest first?
Well, I think both is important. I mean, as far as doing the impression stuff, the way I sort of look at it is, okay, your voice is an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I play different instruments besides guitar. It could be, banjo, mandolin, penny whistle, harmonica, bouzouki, ukulele, other things like that, but when I'm playing guitar, I might be playing guitar in a heavy metal fashion. I might be playing guitar in a folk fashion. I might be playing guitar in an Irish Celtic fashion, using the same instrument, but in a different way. Okay, so now when I'm doing these spoofs, or even the difference between the two James Hetfield sort of voices, gritty and clean, your instrument is being used in a different way. Okay, so I've always found interest in doing something like that. And then when we started really, really developing the spoof fest thing, that's what really fascinates me about it. Playing with different people in a spoof band that I've never played with before, not just my own bands. Mm-hmm. I think that's important too, playing with other people. But then trying to do something or tackle something and strategize it, how do I get there? And if I can't get there entirely, how close can I get? What do I need to do to get there? And what can I take from that to use in my other sorts of creative efforts? It's a learning experience. Beatallica to me is a learning experience. Spooffest to me is a learning experience. And some things end up better than others. Some spoofs have ended up better than others.
Yeah.
Metallica spoof just happened to be one that went really well. And now here we are.
Yeah.
So there's that part that goes along with it. Let's see. And then what was this? Okay. So you asked about spoofs and is that important? And then, yeah, right. We covered all that last part.
Yeah. 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 I was just wondering. I was curious if like being able to do like the impressions, of people, if that was like your interest.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. So, yes, I think I could do a pretty good job at being a voiceover guy or an impressionist guy for things like radio or something like that. And when I went to UW-Madison for school, one of the things that really bummed me out about UW-Madison is that they didn't have a college radio station, which I was like, oh man, that's lame. So I started getting into creative writing instead. I was doing the written word more than the spoken word. Mm-hmm. But even to this day, it's like my girlfriend and I were talking a couple years ago, maybe not even a year and a half ago. And she's just like, man, you need to be doing voiceovers and getting into that part of the industry. And I started looking into it for a little bit. I'm too damn busy, man.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I can't. I want to, but I can't, but those other impressions that we've done, this thing still might be out there somewhere, but okay. Remember when that movie came out, the movie Yesterday, that Beatles movie a couple years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so that there's the Ed Sheeran scene, right, where he says like, hey man, I got this song, it's called Hey Dude.
About the song, the title Hey Jude is just, it's a bit old-fashioned.
That was the kid's name, right?
What kid?
That the song's about.
Oh, the kid, yes, the sad kid.
Now, let me just give you this advice, right? Song title. I won't charge you a penny for it as well. Hey Dude.
So of course that the trailer comes out and people start flooding our inbox and saying, they're like, dude, you wrote that song.
Right. So
it's like, hey dude, it's true, not sad. Take a thrash song and make it better. Whoa. Remember that metal is in your heart. Start to be
fucking bad. No.
So me and our guy Mike Weber, who does like our video stuff, we did this sort of spoofy commercial for Beatallica, where I did the impressions of Beavis and Butthead watching the movie yesterday, like how they would do in the Beavis and Butthead shows and watch videos and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And so I did both of those and we made like a little Beatallica commercial for it. It's out there somewhere and I still have all of the separate tracks. So there's that's out there. Another one, when we did our recording of Sandman off the Sergeant Hetfield's album.
Yes.
I did an outtake in the middle section of it where the song breaks down, where Scooby-Doo and Shaggy are going back and forth with each other and the Sandman is chasing them, like how the Phantom would chase them through it. And I didn't tell Ringo Lars, our drummer, that I had done that. And he came in and he listened to the final take of it.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what the hell? Dude, he was on the floor laughing so hard because he said, dude, these are so funny and so good, but it's like, but some of the stuff we can't put out because again of licensing, you know, and right. Everything. So we've never officially released the Beavis and Butthead thing, like same thing like the Shaggy Scooby thing. But yeah, there's impressions that we do all the time. There's the Danzig impression.
Yeah.
That's me, you know.
I remember years and years ago, like the first show that I saw you guys play up in Cleveland. I believe you did that and you did both voices.
Probably because we did that song, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's how I realized. I was like, oh, he does like all of this stuff.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, there's all that goes along with it. So it's fun, you know. I do want to emphasize this, though, and this is another thing that my girlfriend and I talk about. Both of us think that we're pretty funny people, okay, and fun people. Mm-hmm. But that does not a comedian make, you know? I am not a comedian. I'm a musician, and I think it would be unfair for me to say I'm a comedian or I'm a voiceover actor or yeah. I'm these other things because – I know comedians and voiceover actors, you know,
right.
And in no way would I ever say, oh, dude, I can do what you do because I can't. I'm not in that industry, you know. So I think that there's an important discrepancy to be noted here on this. I do what I do. I try to add little twists to what I do.
Yeah.
The way that we do it makes Beatallica what it is. But we're Beatallica. We're not this and that and this and that and all things,
right?
You know, we're well, that's
what I was saying earlier about like the longevity and how you guys have stood the test of time is the fact that you're musicians and what you the music the compositions that you put together are really well done and it's very clever. And then secondary to me at least is the just the comedy aspect of it, you know, the fact that it's like you're not only doing a great James Hetfield impression, which it is fantastic, but lyrically the stuff that you throw in there kind of like that Hesher mentality, right? Going against sure. Going against hair metal and all the things that, you know, thrash metal fans really like stick up for. Like when I hear those little jabs and stuff, I'm just like, it's so, you know, it's hilarious, but more so, I would always think of you guys as like an actual band. Wait till you hear something off of Abbey Load, you know, like some, which was that was a fun, neat, interesting record too, by the way.
Oh God. When we did that medley, both the medleys.
Yeah.
We've only done both medleys front to back in their entirety. We did them once. We did a Beatles festival in Finland and we were the first metal band that they've ever had at this festival. And people were like, just staring. Just staring at us. They had no idea what this was. And we had this big video screen because Weber was there. Weber came along. We had this big video wall and stuff behind it. And like Cthulhu's rising up and like destroying everything. You know, it's like, and like these old school Beatles fans are like, just look at this, man. They had no idea.
They just want to hear Let It Be.
Or what we were doing, you know. It was hilarious. We had some folks that, you know, they'd come up to us, you know, at the merch table and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, you know, and we're still friends, you know what I mean, with these guys from Finland, and we talk hockey and everything all the time. And it's like, and then you, like some other people would come up to us and they wouldn't realize that we were in the band, you know, because now we're cleaned up, you know, and it's like we're not in costume anymore. You know, it's like, and they're just, they'd look at the merch, they'd stare at one of them and be like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. They would just walk away.
Holy shit.
And so I started laughing, you know what I mean? So
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not something that everybody's going to expect. They're definitely going to be like, you know, where's Here Comes the Sun? And you're like, here's Cthulhu. You know, here's Cthulhu.
Yeah. Like, it was that, oh, God, it was so funny. This is so great.
So before we go, I gotta ask you, in your opinion, you are a guy that obviously is you know the arsenal of Metallica, you know the arsenal of the Beatles. The Beatles are known for having some of the most beautiful songs ever written. Metallica has had some of the heaviest songs ever written. In your opinion, what is the heaviest Beatles song? And then in contrast, what do you think is the most beautiful, as far as like composition, whatever, whatever's beautiful to you, most beautiful Metallica song?
Okay. Well, heaviest Beatles song, I mean, it's easy to go to Helter Skelter, sure, you know. But there's other songs that I would say, you know, sort of push the envelope. I mean, you even listen to like a song like Oh Darling,
mm-hmm,
from the Beatles, and how screamy that is. Or like another one that we've used, Run for Your Life, the Lennon song. Lyrically, like if you read that song lyrically, you know, and you put, you know, like a metal band behind it,
yeah,
like us, you know, you'd be like, oh yeah, this makes total sense, you know. Yeah, so those two songs kind of jump out, you know. As far as the most beautiful Metallica composition, I would say, I mean, is Orion gonna be that? Just because of all the, you know, the layers and the time changes and stuff, you know.
Oh yeah, that was on my list. I was trying to think of songs that weren't Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
because I feel like Nothing Else Matters would be like the Helter Skelter for the Beatles, like the like off the top of the head.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would definitely, I think Orion, I would definitely put that up there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's one of them that's got to be in there. But maybe I'm gravitating towards that again because I was listening to Metallica when I was a kid and they were first coming out,
right?
You know, if I was younger, then maybe it would be a later Metallica song. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which
I desire. I used to run your MySpace. I just want to point this out for our listeners. I took MySpace before before I think you even knew what MySpace was, and I messaged you like I locked it down so nobody would steal the domain because I was looking for you guys on MySpace, and I go, they don't have one. I'm gonna make a fan one. I was young, you know. I was just like, this is how things work. And then I was like, well, I kind of stole the domain. I'm like, you guys can have it back, you know, but like for a while I ran the Beatallica MySpace, and one of the coolest little things of, you know, cred that I've ever had to my name is you guys thanked me in a liner note for the Sergeant Hetfield record.
Yeah.
And that was like the nicest thing. You definitely didn't have to do that. And I'm bringing it up now because that was one of those things that just meant a lot to me to be able to see that. And I was like, wow, they're like so grateful for their fans and people that are trying to put the word out there. And I just, I really think that kind of attitude, cause I bought that record at a Best Buy.
Oh, and, wow.
And so to be able to be like, I bought a record at a Best Buy and I saw my name in the liner notes. I didn't know that. And so that blew my mind. And I just remember just thinking like, I was like, that's really cool that you guys did that. It made my girlfriend, now wife, she was like, you're a cool dude. And I'm like, yeah, that's my name. I was like, you want to marry this guy? That's how we got married. Right. Yeah, that was it. That's what led up to it. You know, I proposed to her with that CD. I was just like, hey, yeah, my name's in there. But man, yeah, I've been a Beatallica banger for as long as I can remember. I highly recommend anybody catching Beatallica out on any of your guys' shows, especially Friday, May 27th. Come down to the Empire. My one buddy, his band Cult of Crowley, they're going to be opening up for you guys.
You know that? Okay, cool.
And the Empire is really cool. Have you ever played there before?
No, I've not. It's a neat venue. I know that they work pretty closely with our agency.
Okay.
And all right, they're located like somewhere near Independence, Ohio. That's near. Okay, yeah. So that's kind of the club that they use in that area, you know. So
yeah, it's a really nice venue. It's a good stage. The sound is really good. It's gonna be really cool being able to see you, catch up with you. We'll fist bump, whatever, maybe, you know. And I'm really excited to be able to see you guys doing some new material, playing some old hits, just doing Beatallica. It's one of my favorite. You guys are one of my favorite bands. And so Beatallica this Friday, I can't wait, dude.
Yeah, us either, man. It's like, you know, if folks need info on the band, I mean, always, you know, Beatallica.org is the site, you know, and we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all that stuff. I mean, we're pretty easy to find, and we try to hit people back, you know, as much as we can, you know, people writing in with questions and stuff like that. I mean, we're responsive and we're communicative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I know our agency is real hyped about the show, in Akron coming up, you know, so that's going to be cool. I know the night before we're in Rochester, New York. That would be on the 26th, Milwaukee on the 28th. We're doing a Harley event at the House of Harley in Milwaukee.
Nice.
And then we're in West Chicago on the 29th, you know, so it's kind of like a Memorial weekend, extravaganza, blowout, rock and roll, Hessian experience, you know?
So. Yeah. Dude, once again, thank you so much.
And yeah, man.
I can't wait to see you Friday, dude.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, we're going to roll in there. You know, I mean, I think we need to arrive or something by like about 4 or something like that. So, yeah, we'll be there hanging out. I got other buddies and friends coming on out to that one too from West Virginia. So that'll be all good too. You know what I mean? To run into those guys too. So yeah, come on out. It's going to be a fun gig. That's for sure.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you so much.
All right, dude. I'll catch up with you soon, man.
There you have it. Beatallica, James Lenfield, my dude, your dude, our dude. Hey, dude. Yeah. Thanks so much to James for coming on the show. I've wanted to have him on the show for a long time. That was super fun. I was like, felt like a nervous, you know what? I'm working on my people talking skills. But James was, he was great. He was awesome to talk to. Hope to see you this Friday. If you're not doing anything Thursday, may I suggest go support your local scene at the Buzzbin. And go see my friends Nobody asked me to do this. Nobody in any of these bands asked me to do this. It's just like, I just want people to know that this is happening. There's a pizza party this Thursday at the Buzz Bin with Intercourse, our friends Super Corruptor, and our other friends Trash Mountain. It sounds like a good time. If I was in town, I'd be hitting it up, but I want you to hit it up and then send me pictures and tell me about all the fun I'm missing out on. And any other show, and any other night, forever, you should go support your bands, your friends, your enemies, as long as they're making music that's decent, you know? If you have friends that are making music that's not decent, then listen, sit them aside and go, hey, just stop. That's the best way to support the scene. All right, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go. Thanks again to James Lenfield. Thanks again to you. See you soon. Bye-bye.